eat, the lifestyle we live, and chemicals from our modern society are driving a global health crisis. Serious health problems are now at epidemic proportions on Guam. Over the past 10 years, health problems from cancer to Alzheimer's to diabetics, even autism, are all shown to be increasing at alarming rates, really impacting every family. With proper diet, nutrition, and an understanding of how the body works, we can minimize our risk, giving you the opportunity to live a healthier, happier, and longer life. At Island Strong, we provide the tools and resources to help you take charge of your own health. To find out more, visit islandstrong.com. Stop by our office next door to Megabyte in Tamuning or call 648-9355 to speak to a wellness coach. Learn to live well with Island Strong. That's 648-9355.
Here comes the sun, I say, it's
alright. Community School has listened closely to Superintendent John Fernandez's call to action and is committed to being an advocate for education. Osmujaw offers a credit recovery program and an advancement program where students who are lacking credits or are interested in graduating early may attend Osmujaw to gain those credits from a six-year WASC accredited school. They can transfer those credits into the student's district school. Parents, please check your child's counselor and take control of your child's education by sending them to Osmujaw to recover those credits that will guarantee the student will graduate with their class or graduate early. Osmujaw is located in Agaña next to the Attorney General's old office building at 297 West O'Brien Drive in a three-story blue building. Call 475-9276 for more information. That's 475-9276. The most unique place on Guam to visit is Jeff's Pirates Cove, located in Ipan Talafofo on Route 4 right on a beautiful windward beach. The menu is full of wonderful culinary delights, including Jeff's famous Chamorro Fiesta Plate. Always remember that Jeff hosts a wonderful Mother's and Father's Day, along with a tantalizing Thanksgiving and a Christmas buffet. Take a tour of Jeff's Pirates Cove's unique local museum and keep an eye out for treasure. Yokoi, Guam's own 28-year survivor of World War II, is featured as a main attraction, showing his last 10 days on Guam and how he lived in the jungle. Jeff opens up Monday through Thursday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, it's 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. Start out with breakfast, Jose's Mexican Omelet, and then don't forget to jump over to Jose's Taco Tuesdays. Unbelievable tacos. Wow, what a treat. And then, of course, there's Friday, your shrimp scampi, your deep-fried calamari rings, fish and shrimp combo, and then the very, very delicious whole parrotfish. And then, folks, don't forget about Jeff's Mediterranean Greek menu with a gyro platter, another personal favorite, Greek salad, and a list of appetizers that will only increase your appetite. Come to Jeff's Pirates Cove, open 7 days a week, Monday through Thursday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. Call 789-8646 for orders to go. That's 789-8646. We'll see you there. Imagine, it's a quiet moonlit night, and you're standing on a beautiful white sandy beach. The sand still warm under your feet from the sun's rays of the day. A gentle breeze is blowing through the palm trees and softly caresses your face and body. The moon is full, and the shimmering pale white moonlight showers you with its powerful moon energy as moonbeams dance upon the ebony waters surrounding you. As you walk along the beach, with the waves gently kissing your feet and the ocean singing to you, you look to the heavens and you see the most wondrous, brilliant star. As you gaze upon this twinkling star, you see it fall suddenly into the water, and in a flash of light, a beautiful, perfect dolphin emerges from that very spot. And in an instant, your heart and mind know that this magical being came to you from the heavens above. The dolphin calls to you in language not of words, but of the heart. It is an easy, joyous communication, welcoming you to approach and enter the water. Excitingly, you do so, finding the water warm and soothing. As you greet one another and you look into the dolphin's eyes, you see the universe itself reflected there. You feel at peace and loved. It is a union and a reunion. You remember and you're connected. Such joy and love you have for your new friend and guide. You take hold of the dolphin's fin and she gently swims with you. You feel totally safe and protected as you both now go beneath the surface of the water, deeper and deeper and deeper. How beautiful this underwater world is. You could stay here forever, surrounded by colored fish, coral, sea, and plant life of every description. And in the distance, you see a crystal cave, just for you. You and your guide effortlessly glide toward this cave, so inviting. And as you enter the cave, you find it has many, many rooms of many colors. Red, orange, purple, green, blue, yellow, each is healing. And you choose the color you need. Or you may choose to visit each room. You're like a sponge, absorbing the vibration, the energy of all the beautiful colors. You may stay here as long as you wish. And when you're ready to leave, you see that your dolphin friend has been patiently waiting for you, and she now accompanies you to the surface. You float silently upward and upward and upward and emerge from the water, healed and whole. You bid farewell to each other, thanking this magnificent celestial being for her love and energy and for this healing journey. And in your heart, you know that she will always, always be with you. Welcome to the Edge of Heaven talk show on metaphysics every Friday night, 6:30 to 8 o'clock. Metaphysics, really that area of philosophy which concerns itself with the nature and structure of reality. It deals with such questions as, are the objects we perceive real or an illusion? Does the external world exist apart from our consciousness of it? Is reality ultimately reducible to a single underlying substance? And if so, is it essentially spiritual or material? Is the universe intelligible and orderly or incomprehensible and chaotic? Pretty much of a duality, I think, there, Mr. Yojoa. You know, it's one of the things that in anticipation of course, was the release. I think it was, I don't know if it was from the Pentagon, where they came out inconclusive was the big word, you know, after all this evidence. And they had 17 that were pretty, I guess, within house kind of.
Talk about the UAP.
Yeah, just a second.
exposure?
Yes. Yeah. The, the UFO exposure. Yeah.
So.
So in that, I mean, you know, you and I and I mean, first one I saw was with Uncle Tolteen. He was at Anderson, and I was up at above Taragi. I think we talked about this probably, you know. And I was Armed Forces Police, and he was the DJ, right? You know, and we saw the same thing, and it, and nothing came up. Well, I mean, we were Air Force. It was the tower. We called the tower, you know, what they saw, and but it's just a visual. It's nothing. Is I guess gets recorded on the radars or something.
Well, it depends on the technology involved.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. But you know, they're saying what is what I led to is what they believe. They're Earth oriented. They're from the Earth. They're from countries here on Earth who are doing this kind of advanced technology.
Yeah, well, from what I've learned is that the different aspects of UFO or UAP or whatever, they've been here since the beginning, is what...
Oh, yeah.
If you watch Ancient Aliens.
Oh, Ancient Aliens.
That,
oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So, you know...
The Melchizedeks. I mean, hello.
There seems to be evidence that they've been here since the beginning and, in fact, may have even created us, as some theories go, as the modern humans.
Right.
You know, through...
Well, yeah, they're working
through,
with us still. We're still...
Through genetic engineering and hybrids and all of this stuff. So you could be part of the... You could be ETs, like you like to say. We could be ETs.
Yeah, so, well, if we're one with the universe.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to deny that part.
Right. So to me, it's all coming out now in a way. It may be coming out unintentionally on the part of the government because they were keeping this under wraps for various reasons of their own that they did not want to expose. But I think from what I've been studying so far is that there's the outcomes are pretty much what they are saying in that report as far as what they think the conclusions would be. It's just that they don't want to emphasize the other part.
Which is the
which is the actual 3D ETs.
Right. Well, yeah. Which is the back engineering.
The back engineering came from the Roswell incident.
The wreck.
Where supposedly they found a wreck of a scout craft. And then they back-engineered that to learn about anti-gravity in conjunction with Tesla, who I think was already working in that area.
Right.
So I think they came up with the anti-gravity stuff and been keeping it under wraps for their own reasons, you know. And we say, who are these people, right? They're usually what we some people call Kabbalists type, or the cabal, or people with money and power.
Or the military-industrial complex.
Or the military-industrial complex is part of that.
Well, they're the ones that,
but
the 51.
The power behind that is what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, well, who funds it?
Right.
Yeah, the funding, I mean, what, we have 70% of our funding goes to the defense or something, or of our tax money
or
something.
Yeah, but
like
that goes into deep black holes, too.
I mean, all your $1,200
that we may
toothpick.
Be paying for. But then the ones who actually control it are the ones that with the power and the money to do that.
Sure.
Because sometimes the president is not even in the loop on these kinds of things.
Yeah, and the idea is that we just light candles at the cathedral to hope that the new generation of the cabal, you know, have a sense of environmental concern and want to keep the planet going as long as possible. The one thing that is always contemplated that's come up now too in some of like Dan Brown's books and stuff like that is what population does the Earth deserve, kind of a thing. Is it like we're approaching 8 right now? So if we're looking at something like maybe 3.2 or something, who knows? I mean, I know there's a number out there somewhere where
there's a number out there, but I think it's really unlimited, because the reason why I say that it's unlimited as far as what the Earth can hold, because it depends on the spiritual development of the humans involved and the technologies involved.
Right.
So that to me is the deciding factor, not an actual number.
Right.
You know, and
I think what they look at is what hasn't changed in technology, or what hasn't changed.
Yeah.
You know, we can anticipate a change, and you know, your generic aspects of everybody eating the same, and or everybody doing the same kind of things to maintain an equilibrium.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing of it is, as we well know, like in the Philippines right now, you know, the volcano is going off, right? So what Mother Nature has to offer us can be calm seas. And then in quick, you know, turnaround, we got like a tropical storm coming through the area. And it's and that's natural. That's Mother Nature that we're going to see this. So what I see in these civilizations, if in fact aliens come here and do what we have to do to have the population of the humans ascend, it seems in the cycles, you know, that we see high wisdom religions, Egyptian religions.
Yeah. Everything is cyclic,
Yeah, so you see this these high parts of man's consciousness, you know, reaching out and raising themselves up to this higher level. But then it's, and then you have the yin and the yang, then it falls.
Well, you if you're in 3D, you're going to have the duality aspects.
Right. Right.
So the purpose of ascension, I think, is to ascend out of 3D.
Oh, yeah.
And
you
so
get to 5D.
Yeah, when you go into 5D is the whole purpose of the ascension process. Mm-hmm. And to me, it's a natural evolutionary process of humanity, I think, as
no,
a whole.
Absolutely. And in that aspect, and finding bliss, right, realizing, you know, what of course, is occurring in the third, you know, dimension, the thing, you know, that I always kind of go back to, we talked about this so many times, is this Lincoln Kennedy thing. You know, if anybody in themselves, you know, have a doubt about connecting, you know, within this human cycle, these human species, when you study, you know, the really similarities of Abraham Lincoln and John Kennedy, you know, it's something that is surprising, you know, to a lot of people, and hopefully a stepping stone in their own spiritual maturation, that they come to an understanding that yes, you know, there is a Santa.
Yeah, and that we're not just humans, we're spiritual beings.
Right.
Know. Interconnecting ourselves as humans. Yes.
Yeah, interconnecting. And so these things, I guess, where I'm coming from is kind of a foundation, you know, of this ascension that's going on, and then how we're anticipating it and living it. And, you know, we see around us things, you know, that are going on that are very enlightening to the sense of this awakening. It's interesting.
Yes, we're in the evolving process, and right now we're hitting a part of that evolution where it's becoming more and more apparent that it's going to be quicker and quicker, you know, instead of a
right.
slow burn, so
right.
to speak.
Right, because of this
slow evolution.
Of where we are astrologically,
yeah.
maybe.
As where we are in mass consciousness, is where we are in technology, and all of that is involved too. So, and our spiritual development is also part of that. So it's all going to happen whether we like it or not. And right. because of mass humanity's consciousness, so it's up to each individual soul and its own consciousness is where it wants to participate in as far as to that evolutionary process.
Right, and the idea to get into that realm, you got to kind of let your ego kind of slide, you know, which is a harder thing. You know, for men, it seems to be women, you know, Mother Nature, it's pretty natural. But you got to remember, you got calm seas and you got thunderstorms. So, and that's all natural. That's all in this nature.
Well, and ego was necessary for 3D. And that's the main thing that most people are failing to realize is that the heavy ego, which is based out of fear and the survival, is based on actual 3D principles.
Yeah,
and
right.
So those principles are saying that ego, your ego is not your enemy. It's there for a reason, and it's for you to embrace it and accept it and put it in its proper place.
Right.
And the way to put that in its proper place is to understand that the ego reacts to fear. Okay, it also reacts to love, but it is born out of fear more than anything because its purpose is to survive. It's for humans to survive in 3D.
Right.
So that
fight or flee.
Right, yeah. So it's all part of that process there. And the more you come in acceptance of your ego and put it in its right place, so to speak, I put that in quotes.
Well, that's a theater.
That's
St. Edward, exhibiting Steve Ujoa.
Yeah.
You know, and how
it's part of our personality traits
as
our soul in 3D.
Because what you're dealing, you know, within this realm, because we're here.
Right.
You know, that's there's no doubt about
so
that.
So the ego has its place, and I think people should understand that it's not our enemy, and it could be a friend. So it all depends on how we accept fear over love, you know. Mm-hmm. So it always boils down to
or love over fear.
Yeah. Well, the ego is fear over love.
Right,
because
okay.
It's based on survival needs, so
right.
It chooses fear as its main operating modus operandi, you know.
Right.
So, but it, of course, when it accepts love, then it has no more fear.
Right.
So therefore, it right. becomes an aspect of love that helps us instead of hold us back. So
yeah, or being able to face anything, you know, that emerges, you
right.
know, within your third D.
Yeah, it enhances our personality when the ego decides to finally accept love.
Right.
Instead of fear.
Surrender to,
right.
to love.
So surrender. In fact,
right.
that's what Christ consciousness is. That's what Christ came to teach.
Right.
Or Jesus, rather. And that is all the point is unconditional love.
Right.
So as soon as more and more of that goes into each individual's heart, then the world changes. Then it's easier to ascend. Then all of these things that we wish to see without all the war and the fear aspects will start to gradually come out of our, awareness.
Right.
And it becomes more and more our awareness is gravitating towards love versus fear. So wars will gradually fade away and all of the conflicts and everything like that, because in love there is none of that as far as...
Right, we're all equal.
As far as
there's
the
no
experiencing
judgments.
Of it, yeah.
Yeah, and that can really only happen to me in the fifth dimension, because this third dimension is just what it is.
Well, third dimension, you know, is duality.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, and to rise above this with people being in the fifth dimension but still having the embodiment on the third dimension and realizing these things, but like you say, to get to the point of where you're not... a threat in the fear of this military industrial complex that we got going. I mean, why, you know, when, like, you know, that
news. Let me stop you there,
because
yeah, you said
please.
Something that came to mind.
Okay, good.
The soul is an eternal being. So three dimension is not something to be neglected or not wanted. Okay, it's part of existence. It's
right.
part of God's creation. So therefore, your soul has choices. You know, it'll stay in 3D until it chooses not to otherwise leave it. You know, so...
But evolving to the
yeah,
fifth dimension.
Right, by evolving to the fifth dimension as far as its personality self.
Sure,
of the
your
soul.
Higher consciousness.
Right.
St. Edward.
So that's the whole point, is that your soul is already in 5D, or what other
yeah,
dimensions?
Yeah, your higher consciousness.
Older dimensions.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So it's not worried about that. Your personality self, part of your soul, is the one that is trying to ascend in its own comprehension of how it is to live in 5D.
Right. And
so
that is
the point. It's not whether your soul is going to leave 3D and go to 5D, which it can if it chooses to.
Right.
But if part of its energy is still in 3D, then that's your personality part of your soul.
Well, it's everywhere.
And it reincarnates every time if you want to go into the...
Right.
To the time-space continuum thing versus the eternal now.
Right. Well, that's where, you know, you have the revelation of future and past and now is all happening at the same time.
In 3D, yeah.
And the same thing with, you know, with all the different
3D
cells.
Energy had to slow that down into past, present, and future. But in reality, the real reality is the eternal now.
Right. And that's, the hallelujah upon that revelation, of course.
Right.
You know, because we got eternity, so you can take your time painting that boat.
Whatever you like.
In our little world, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, absolutely. So into this aspect of, getting back to the UFOs and these things. Now, every now and then we'll see... A clipping of where there's actual aliens, you know, in different pictures or what it is. Now, is that something that you feel people are creating?
Yeah. Let's get into the mechanics
now
of what
please.
The report's about.
Yeah.
Right? So to me, the report is something new. If you really want to follow what I think it is, just look up Stephen Greer's website there.
Okay.
Because I follow that the most closely is what is actually happening. I
That's
think.
G-I-E-R?
Yeah, G-R-E-E-R.
Okay.
Yeah,
G-R-E-E-R.
Greer. So to me, that what he's saying is that, you know, as far as what the report came out, yeah, that's true. But the way they're bringing it out is deception, very deceptive, you know, because they're just doing it for the power and the control aspect.
Well, what I'm talking about is like somebody at a party, you know, you see it on Facebook or you see something, you know, somebody at a party and there'll be the alien, you know, the head, the body, real skinny kind of a thing. And this is, you know, evidence, you know, that's communicated, you know, through people with their phones or people, you know, however, you know, they're communicating it. But
that's another subject about how many types of aliens are out there.
Well, as many as you can imagine, I'm sure.
Pretty much.
You know, I mean, the octopus, they think, is the big one right now.
From what I hear, there's at least 57 main types that visit
Earth. 57.
Yeah, and there's probably a lot more, but that's the main types that visit here.
Okay, now this is Stephen Greer, too.
I'm not sure if it's Stephen Greer or some other, I forget. They all seem to blend together at some point for me.
Yeah.
So I don't know which is what anymore until I go back to it.
To go back and then and bring this information back up.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the 57 species, you know, if you're going to go into that aspect of ET as far as the 3D aspects of how they come here, you know, in the Star Trek-ish version of how ETs are,
right?
Okay, then you can have those different varieties. The question is, what is their spiritual evolution? What is their consciousness evolution in interacting with us? You know, and that is the main purpose of how we should deal with the real ETs, is what I call them.
Yeah.
You know, the real extraterrestrials from other solar systems, constellations, or star systems.
Right. Now, one of the things that I know that's... you know, that,
and by the way, they could be interdimensional as well.
Sure, and just coming through your thought process.
Right.
I mean, that's you know, within this what and that.
Right, aspect. And I think most of that interdimensional stuff might have to do with the religious aspects of angels and demons. You know, as far as how they view what's manifesting in 3D as coming interdimensionally, and they can either call it angels or demons.
Yeah, well, that's definitely the third dimensional sense.
Yeah.
You know, Steve, I think one of the exciting things, you know, that I sense in this ascension that's going on is people who are traveling, you know, and it's a real unification because, you know, you're not in a political realm as much as you are in the personal realm. And this thing, you know, with the internet and cyberspace and these things, they're doing a thing, interestingly enough, to where the millennials feel more comfortable in cyberspace than they do in this third dimensional realm. And now, between you and I,
it's a natural evolutionary process, because I think why they feel more comfortable is because they can relate versus, say, us boomer types, that they can relate more to the virtual reality world of interdimensionality.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, from their soul perspective, they have an easier time than the boomers, for instance, generation-wise, in relating to that aspect of interfacing with computer like energy and stuff like that.
Yeah, being born into it as opposed to us being integrated through our own self-learning.
So they have a what you call a conscious or unconscious resonation with that aspect of energy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So to me, that's why they're easier. They have easier ways to deal with technology than people have to be integrated into it.
And our evolution, no doubt, is part of that.
Well, yeah, because I think the further we evolve, as far as 3D anyway, is technologies.
The food we eat, the lifestyle we live, and chemicals from our modern society are driving a global health crisis. Serious health problems are not epidemic proportions on Guam. Over the past 10 years, health problems from cancer to Alzheimer's to diabetics, even autism, are all shown to be increasing at alarming rates, really impacting every family. With proper diet, nutrition, and an understanding of how the body works, we can minimize our risk, giving you the opportunity to live a healthier, happier, and longer life. At Island Strong, we provide the tools and resources to help you take charge of your own health. To find out more, visit islandstrong.com. Stop by our office next door to Megabyte in Tamuning or call 648-9355 to speak to a wellness coach. Learn to live well with Island Strong. That's 648-9355. 55. A Smoojow Community School has listened closely to Superintendent John Fernandez's call to action and is committed to being an advocate for education. A Smoojow offers a credit recovery program and an advancement program where students who are lacking credits or are interested in graduating early may attend a Smoojow to gain those credits from a six-year WASC accredited school that can transfer those credits into the student's district school. Parents, please check your child's counselor and take control of your child's education by sending them to a Smoojow to recover those credits that will guarantee the student will graduate with their class or graduate early. A Smoojow is located in Agana, next to the Attorney General's old office building at 297 West O'Brien Drive in a three-story blue building. Call 475-9276 for more information. That's 475-9276. The most unique place on Guam to visit is Jeff's Pirate's Cove, located in Ipan Talafofo on Route 4 right on a beautiful windward beach. The menu is full of wonderful culinary delights, including Jeff's famous Chamorro Fiesta Plate. Always remember that Jeff hosts a wonderful Mother's and Father's Day, along with a tantalizing Thanksgiving and a Christmas buffet. Take a tour of Jeff's Pirate's Cove's unique local museum and keep an eye out for treasure. Yokoi, Guam's own 28-year survivor of World War II, is featured as a main attraction, showing his last 10 days on Guam and how he lived in the jungle. Jeff opens up Monday through Thursday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, it's 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. Then don't forget to pick up that breakfast, Jose's Mexican Omelet, folks. Unbelievable. Go through the week. You got your Chamorro Fiesta Plate. And then Jose's Taco Tuesdays, where you get that burrito. Unbelievable burrito facts. And then there's Friday, today. Don't forget, that whole parrotfish is sitting there waiting for you. And then there's Jeff's Mediterranean Greek menu with a gyro platter, which of course is another personal favorite, a Greek salad, and a list of appetizers that will only increase your appetite. Come to Jeff's Pirate's Cove, open 7 days a week, Monday through Thursday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m., and call 789-8646 for orders to go. That's 789-8646.
Edge of Heaven message.
People of the Mariana Islands, wake up to where you are. The most powerful Chamorro legend is called the Goddess of Guam. Late at night, there's an old man and old woman in their house near the ocean. There's a knock on the door, and an old man and old woman are outside. Mila Zimboka, they're invited to eat. The old man goes to get fresh water for them while the old woman starts cooking the vegetables with a small fish the old man had caught that day. They have half a glass of tuba that they give to the old man and old woman. They are so happy to be able to share with the old man and old woman. Well, the old man and old woman are God and goddess. The God and goddess tell the old man and old woman to climb the mountain in the morning. And as they're climbing the mountain, not to look back. When they reach the top of the mountain and they say the Isa, the rainbow, they can look back. Sure enough, early in the morning, they start climbing the mountain. They don't look back. When they reach the top of the mountain, the old woman sees the Isa and they look back. The island had sunk and everyone was gone but them. The water recedes and the old man and old woman go back down the mountain. The god and goddess reappear. and they tell the old man and old woman, there will be humans coming to your shores. And when they come, you teach them how to be human. People of the Marianas, teach the humans how to be human. Live long and rise above your challenges and save as many lives as you can.
Catch The Edge of Heaven Fridays from 6:30 to 8 p.m. right here on News Talk K57.
There you go, Jordan. Good job. The Beach Boys rule the world. You know, getting back to this Lincoln and Kennedy thing, you know, you anticipate because you know something that everybody knows it, right? That's kind of an interesting thing, you know, thinking, but often the case, it's not true, you know, because we all have our own interests and our own things that we're involved in. But this Lincoln and Kennedy thing is, of course, two of the most tragic and dramatic deaths in American history. The assassination of Presidents Abraham Lincoln and John Fitzgerald Kennedy involved the following astonishing parallels. Number one, Lincoln was elected president in 1860. Exactly 100 years later, in 1960, Kennedy was elected president. Number two, both men were deeply involved in civil rights for Afro-Americans. Three, both men were assassinated on a Friday in the presence of their wives. Four, each wife had lost a son while living at the White House. Number five, both men were killed by a bullet that entered the head from behind. Six, Lincoln was killed in Ford's Theater. Kennedy met his death while riding in a Lincoln convertible made by the Ford Motor Company. Both men were succeeded by vice presidents named Johnson, who were Southern Democrats and former senators. Andrew Johnson was born in 1808. Lyndon Johnson was born in 1908, 100 years later. The first name of Lincoln's private secretary was John. The last name of Kennedy's private secretary was Lincoln. John Wilkes Booth was born in 1839, according to some sources. Lee Harvey Oswald was born in 1939, 100 years later. Both assassins were Southerners who held extremist views. Number 12, both assassins were murdered before they could be brought to trial. Number 13, Booth shot Lincoln in a theater and fled to a barn. Oswald shot Kennedy from a warehouse and fled to a theater. Lincoln and Kennedy each have 7 letters. Number 15, Andrew Johnson and Lyndon Johnson each have 13 letters. John Wilkes Booth and Lee Harvey Oswald each have 15 letters. In addition, the first public proposal that Lincoln be the Republican candidate for president in a letter to the Cincinnati Gazette, November 6, 1858, also endorsed a John Kennedy for vice president, John P. Kennedy, formerly Secretary of the Navy. There you go. So when these things emerge,
synchronicities. Stuff,
yeah, the synchronicities. I guess what we're always looking for is something to jumpstart this ball game. You know, in individuals, right? You know, what can happen? We know death experiences work. We know people getting surgery. You know, and they're astral project or different things in their lives. You know, hopefully it's something pleasant. You know, as opposed to something that, you know, crisis, where, you know, you're awakening, you surrender to love. And so this kind of a thing, when you see that, you know, you can only have a full revelation that we are more than this third dimensional thing. You know, if we need another sailing point, we're going to sell something, right? You know, but we're completely surrounded. I mean, our TV shows, our movies, our philosophers, the artists are all expressing the same knowledge of this, go on through to the other side kind of a thing. You know, wake up to who you really are. Be the person who you can be.
Well, that's why it's called the awakening process.
Yeah, right.
Because
sure.
Everything in life is coming to a head, so to speak, and that's why there's no more secrets as we used to know secrets.
Right.
So why is that? Because there's an awakening going on, and when you wake up, there's no more secrets.
Right.
So
when you're fully aware.
Yeah, you're aware of what's going on, right? So to me, it's just a matter of how we perceive things as far as whether we're going to accept them out of fear or love. So everything's going to happen whether we want to be involved in it or not consciously. Because subconsciously, we're always going to be involved with whatever's happening on 3D Earth, because that's why we reincarnated here, to be part of that process, to be part of that evolution, so to speak, and for our own soul's own development purposes, you know? So it's all part of a divine plan, if you want to look at it that way.
Now that's the personal thing too, is getting to, you know, I've read in the accounting of you pick your own parents before birth. You know, you have a pretty good idea about how long you're going to live and what the terms of that experience is going to be, and you have this sense of an uplifting of the revelation of living that. And anytime you veer from that divine plan, you know, there are signposts that come up, you know, where anger or jealousy
even the detour from the divine plan is part of the divine plan.
Yes, yeah, that absolutely. So, and now see, that's an interesting thing. You know, like we say, don't commit suicide, but is committing suicide part of the divine plan?
Yes.
You know, I mean, that's, but to where you get stuck in the second floor kind of a thing, you know, because you develop this, you know, the Tibetans have a ritual to go in and get those people who are on the second floor and take them up to the third floor.
Yeah, you got to look at it from the different perspective involved from your soul. Because if you're a personality on the soul energy level of 3D, there is a certain negative aspects of suicides and all that, right?
Right.
But at the multidimensional 5D aspects of where your soul is at the one, we're all one. So whether you commit suicide now is basically for its own learning, soul-wise.
Yeah, like you're going
because
through,
it is eternal.
Right.
You know, so it depends on what perspective you want to, on levels you want to look at these things.
So how are we doing?
Oh, me?
Well, now, who else is on that phone we're talking to?
Oh, hi.
Of course,
yeah.
I do.
Well,
thank
you. The other thing is we're just, it's like we're in a nine-dimensional construct.
Nine?
So
you said 5D
5D is just the next step.
Yeah.
I'm wonderful. I've been reading a couple of wonderful books, and one of the things that you know, we came on and talked about the Mayan calendar and all of those things years ago, but, you know, we are still in this changing of ages, and it takes a while to settle into a new age, and we're not even we're taking baby steps, so to speak.
Well, I don't know about you, man. I'm jumping over. You know, I'm pole vaulting. You ever pole vault?
Well, yeah, oh
no,
yeah.
No,
oh,
Diane,
yeah.
I agree with you from the
too.
Yeah.
But
from
that,
the 3D level, we are taking baby steps.
Timeline splits because those of us pole vaulting are working on different timelines.
Yeah. No, we're there.
We're there.
Yeah, it's like Mrs. Dejima.
I agree with that.
You know,
a lot of people are playing catch up.
Yeah.
There's different vibrational frequencies going on in this.
Yeah.
In this thing. You know, one of the fascinating things that I've been reading about in this story, and this woman has done her research, is that, you know, in she's studying the early days of Christianity. And the Bible, what's his name? Marcion. He had the church, a large group of followers that were early Christians, and then Peter had a group. Well, Peter decided to add the Old Testament, the Jewish Old Testament, in. But Marcion didn't want his group. They didn't follow that because they did not want an angry God, Yahweh, in their Bible, because that wasn't Jesus' teaching. The Piscean Age was supposed to be about Jesus' teachings of love, but it's the two fish going two opposite directions. And Jesus brought in the love aspect, and it's so fascinating because here we are at the change of another 2,100 year cycle, and what we're supposed to be bringing in is we're not looking for a Messiah, we're looking for that part of ourselves that is that.
Right. Church of World Messianity, that was, you know, a full on thing, you know, where you can heal, you can do the healing, you
right.
know.
Well, that is the second coming of Jesus, is the Christ consciousness.
Right.
That is the second coming.
In ourselves.
Within our individuals.
Within our individual selves. And that's where we're moving with the Aquarian age.
Right. That's what one of the problems with Christianity, and everybody's waiting for something to happen, but it's you.
It's you.
Jump on.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
it's you.
Don't wait. You are the second coming, you know, with that consciousness. But, you know, in what you see in these baby steps, you know, that are emerging, but we do define steps. I mean, we see steps. We see, you know, where things are going on, hopefully, you know, sustainability, hopefully, you know, things, you know, where we have a consciousness of Gaia, right, you know, our planet, where we realize, you know, that we can be friends and neighbors, but always realize that we're in Mother Nature. So you're going to have folks that think the opposite of you, but then you get to that nice term, we agree to disagree.
Well, the understanding there to help us realize this is that we're living in duality. If you're in 3D, you're in duality. So you're always going to have an opposite, so to speak.
Right, and so, welcome it, because it's Mother Nature, it's natural.
Yeah. So it's just like Mother Nature shows, it's how to harmonize with it is the issue.
Sure. And then, you know, for me, my harmony that I like to do is that yoga spinning exercise where you spin to the right 21
the
times.
Sufi.
Yeah. Well, it's a Tibetan exercise. It equalizes your inner ear, but the, you know, the spinning kind of thing, that's, you spin until you see God, right?
But right.
Yeah, the Sufis, right? But when you're spinning, everything's spinning. All the atoms are spinning. The Milky Way is spinning. We're spinning. We're going 1,000 miles an hour. You know, I keep my seatbelt on most of the day. Right? But you know,
we have a lot of help, as Steve was talking about the ETs. There are so many benevolent groups, and some of them, you know, the Syrians were here, the Pleiadians were here, the Lyrians are here. We are Stardust mixed with Earth mud. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's
well,
what
that's
we're created.
Yeah,
from.
Well, we're like the seedling, right?
Yeah.
To that aspect. And you know what I see is to this realm as humans, you know, we always talk about, you know, this duality about how we can't handle achievers. You know, we roast them when they're alive, we eulogize them when we're dead. And what I've been saying lately is you know, pretty plain why the aliens haven't just landed. You know why, Dion?
Why?
There's no public bathroom.
Well, some of the theories on that too is that we're not significant enough. That we're just like
or evolved enough.
Yeah,
to
this planet is just an anthill, and there's no reason to stop here and look at an anthill.
Yeah,
you know?
But yeah, please, thank you.
So, I know the topic on the hand is about aliens and 3-dimension or 4-dimension, and possibly 11 dimensions, right? And I was, I actually just watched a video last night before I fell asleep, and it was saying that the Ark of the Covenant is like a, it's like a beacon for the supernatural, you know, that people are, I guess, the flying saucers and all that. But it said that as soon as he has risen from, you know, from the dead itself, the Ark of the Covenant, it's like what is it called? It's like a source of power, and it's crazy that it resets.
It's like a generator of
force. Yeah. Yes. And it's crazy that it resets. So, like, say, one day it'll be in Egypt, the next day it'll be in Giza, and then following, and so on and so on. And it's crazy because as I got more into the video, even up to this day, 2021, the Ark of the Covenant is still missing. Most people may disagree with me, you know, that, oh, it's not missing, it's found. But who's to say, you know, like, we found it when nobody with actual human reality has ever seen it. Another thing is mentioned that we are not allowed to touch it, let alone like lay eyes on it, due to the amount of what Mr. Steve was saying is that the amount of energy it generates.
It sort of acts like a nuclear reactor in a way. It can have interdimensional aspects and even induce certain time travel aspects in it.
So it's a portal.
It's like a portal. It could be a Stargate type thing.
Right.
We don't know for sure, but it seems to have components of all of these things.
And then we have these scientists that have these electromagnetic probes. Now, you know how it says like electromagnetic fields, and apparently it was crazy because in the video, this scientist, you know, I guess because the thing itself is classified as like, you know, like CIA clearance and stuff.
Crypto clearances.
He hit the probe. But the probe broke, and no matter how much profit, you know, scientists spend on these scientific equipment, they can't seem to measure the frequency on the Ark of the Covenant itself.
Yeah, well, that's in finding into this aspect now. So, define Ark of the Covenant. What's this?
Well, no one knows for sure. Actually,
Where was the origin?
But I think it's more at the most basic level, some kind of a nuclear reaction type up generator.
Well, I remember Harrison Ford, right? You know, in the movie, right? You know, when they're out there, the Germans are there, they dig it up, and then the German soldier goes to it, and the skeleton turns into a skeleton.
What's crazy about it is the Curse of Oak Island, right? And I watched the whole season on the history.
Yeah, show. Okay.
It's mentioned in the Curse of Oak Island, one of the seasons and episodes, that the Ark of the Covenant had made its way through Oak Island as it was being transported across the sea, but it wasn't being transported on the, you know, like a horse and cattle. It was actually being transported on the ship itself.
You mean like a spaceship?
No, like a full cell ship.
Yeah,
and from there, it just kept going on and on, and it went back to
Oak Island.
It went back to the Oak Island, but one of the Knights Templar.
Yes.
It went that far back, and in the episode of history itself, it's saying that the Ark of the Covenant with the Knights Templar may have gone further back than people expected, because the Knights Templar were supposed to guard the Ark of the Covenant as it was being transported to its location. Now, who's to say, if they got raided, but...
Well, not only that, but there are certain phrases that are written about the Ark.
Exactly.
That sort of shows that it was emitting radiation, because it's always covered. So there's some kind of shielding around.
So this is something that
because when the cover gets lifted for whatever reason, people die.
So this is when aliens left this here. What's the origin of the ark? Why they call it?
Who knows? It could be local in origin when they discovered how to crack the atom back then, or it could be alien delivered.
Yeah. How about you, Dionne?
For some reason, I was thinking multidimensional portholes, and
Stargate
it was
type stuff.
I see it. It was also had something to do with Egypt, too. I know at one point they had mentioned it in
as it moves around, right?
It moves around, right?
Exactly.
And the idea was that any country that had it wouldn't be overtaken.
Right.
Wouldn't be.
Yeah, it's the ultimate power, just like nuclear weapons now.
Mm-hmm. And, right. And another thing, too, is that there's like a bunch of videos and a bunch of information that it's not just one specific location where these UFOs are certainly landing. It's actually multiple. And, I did further research on it. One of them had actually landed in the islands of, or in the oceans of Samoan. And it's like, here's a big island. Behind it's a volcano, and then it's saying, and they have witnesses saying that they see ships dive through the water, under the water, and then the next day later, it just pops out like out of nowhere.
So it can go into space and then also go into the water.
Yes,
yeah.
And it's saying
USOs. They call them USOs.
People are saying that who knows? They may be underground cave under the volcano itself. We may never know. Until
Aquaman 2 comes out, yes.
Exactly.
Well, we're in the devil's the dragon's triangle here.
Yes, it's north of us, right?
Japan to Guam to Taiwan and back. They said there's pictures that the Japanese fishermen did of UFOs coming out of the ocean that looked just like, in the 1800s, they were drawn pictures. But, we have the trench here. So,
what's down at the bottom of the trench?
Yeah.
A 100-foot building made out of roofing tin.
I don't think it'll last long down there.
It all blew off of Guam and went down Marianas. Yeah, and it's a 100-story building made out of roofing tin. Yeah, all the time. And mattresses. Each room has a mattress. Yeah, no, it all got blown.
Well, we have all of those serpentine volcanoes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the Philippines is going right now. The Philippines, as we speak,
the Ring of Fire, they call it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's some potent energy.
Right. Well, the other day, Sunday, I got my little Bayliner, smallest Bayliner you can get, 14-footer. And so I take off, got a new engine on it, and from Agate Marina to Seti Bay, 10 minutes. And there I was, Sunday night, sun setting, in Seti Bay, all by myself, looking around, thinking, boy, Rand, you're a good boy. You're a good boy. You know, because you're looking up at the very height of the tallest mountain in the world and experiencing the solitude of revelation, right? And being in a space that is embraced, with no buildings, two freshwater rivers, just the calmness. When you think of like focal points or things, where you have that those portals, any place or any thought or any imaginative reality was all there, and that's what I felt, but that's, you can do the same thing in your living room, you can do the same thing in your garage or in your car or whatever, right? But it's just taking the time, I think, to take that breath of that revelation of that moment,
To me, that's called living fully in the now.
Right, right. Yeah, that's exactly what we want to express from the edge of heaven, is to have as many of those experiences as possible, because they're all such gaining of knowledge.
You weren't pasting and futuring, right? You were in the now moment.
I was doing the whole thing.
Yeah.
Right, because I've been to Seti Bay how many times, and I'm going to be to Seti Bay how many times in the future, right? But here I am right now, and our boat is Earth, and it's Seti Bay, is the home port.
That was your now.
Yeah, That's the now.
The awareness came in that that was your now, so everything sort of amplified itself.
Right, that aspect. Right. Yeah. And with the consciousness of the revelation. And that's the kind of thing by example, right? You know, sitting these things out, you think about what it is that you have to do of self to continue with that, with our mantra, with our guaidza, 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 love, 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 tong, 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 if you're chukis, whatever it is that, to keep you into this higher consciousness. But, you know, what you're finding in astrologically and having the individuals, you know, with a doing Vedic and these things, that you see a growth. You see, you know, personal ascensions. Is that one of the things?
Well, right now I'm working with the biofield, the human biofield, with tuning forks.
Okay.
And I've been I've been kind of studying under this lady, Elaine Day Cusick, and you can find her on YouTube. And I bought some of her products, and I've been working on
Dion, real quick, do you have your phone TV on or something in the background? We're getting kind of fuzzy background.
Oh, I have the radio on.
Yeah, you got to turn the radio off. If you could turn the radio off.
Oh yeah, I'll turn it off. Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
And
makes
so,
a difference.
And so what her premises is that you go out, you take. Well, I'm working with 174 hertz right now because she also has a wonderful tuning fork that's 12 times the Schumann resonance, which is 94. I don't have it with me. So
well, 432, right? Isn't that the that resonating the resonance? What is it? Hertz
Schumann,
per second?
Schumann resonance.
Well, no, the hertz of the Earth, the Schumann resonance, is 720.
Yeah, 720.
Okay.
7.2, but you'd have to have a 5 foot long tuning fork to have anything that low.
Okay.
But, well, I'm using the 7.4, which is off the I'm trying to say Proficio. Anyhow, and so what you do is you go out about 6 foot, and I become what she calls a hollow bone, or I'm just listening to the fork and picking up energies, and I'm moving those energies back into the body because you have a lot of dissonance in your field, and it gets stuck in your field. She's really good about reading people. You go out 6 foot is where your
what do you mean out 6 foot? What do you mean by out 6 foot?
Feeling your way through, and what you're doing is picking up dissonant energy, bringing it back to those spinning vortexes in your body, and then columning it out up. And what it does is it clears up the dissonance in your field, so that you are actually making your true sound. You know what I mean?
Dion, do you still have your radio on? Dion, do you still have your radio on?
No, I don't.
Okay, we're just hearing this vibration.
Oh, because I don't have anything on in here.
Okay.
Except my computer.
Okay.
Well, Wi-Fi,
maybe your computer's doing it.
I'll back up.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So real quick.
It's quite amazing, Dion, the amount of
Dion,
energy.
When you talk about the 6 feet, you're talking about taking the tuning fork and putting it out 6 feet around you?
I hold it because I go in from like the feet first, and then I bring the energy into the feet, and then I drop it in and I column it up. And what it seems to do.
Okay, now we'll stop. Dion, yeah. It's not making sense.
Oh,
please,
stop.
Just a minute, Dion. Just hang on just a second, sweetheart.
Okay.
Okay. To explain what it is that you're actually doing, we have to be more simplified, maybe, and you're standing with a tuning fork. Explain what the tuning fork is so people understand.
You know what a tuning fork is.
Yeah,
right?
But you explain it. So,
and you hit it, and it rings a certain frequency.
Right.
They use them for tuning pianos and different things.
Okay, so you have one.
Right.
Now, do you do this standing up or you do this sitting down?
I do it. Well, I have. Well, say I use Jerry for example. I lay him out on the bed, and then I.
This is your husband. So you're laying him out on the bed.
I walk out 6 feet, and think of it as a tree, as the rings of a tree. You tell your story in this rings of a tree. So it's basically 12 feet out because you have. You're in the center. You're the center ring of the tree, and out 6 feet on your sides, because I work on the sides, so you can work on the back too, are different. And say you're 30 years old, and or 60 years old. And so if I'm out 6 feet, I'm at your birth. And when I get to 3 feet, I'm at 30 years old. And then you break it down.
So what you do, you walk into the person, like Jerry's laying down.
Right, I walk.
And you're away from him.
With a tuning fork.
You're 6 feet away.
And I tap it.
And that's his birth.
And then it'll either keep ringing a clear note.
Right.
Or it will stop ringing a clear note, or it'll make a dissonant sound, like it has some highs and lows. It'll make a different sound, so that in that area I will stand and I will hold the fork and I will ring it until it rings clear.
Okay.
And then what I'm doing, it's like sweeping a floor, or iron filings and a magnet. You know how you move iron.
Now you're doing this over his body?
I'm bringing that energy back into the body.
Back into Jerry.
Right, back into Jerry. Say at his feet, I bring it right over the top of his foot. Well, you have a small chakra, and then which is a spinning vortex. So your body has multiple spinning vortexes.
Yeah, that's what you
are. And those spinning vortexes, you actually sweep that energy up and off the body as high as you can reach. And what that does is that clears the field. So that, say you were angry, really, really angry about something, or you have emotional trauma that happened at a certain age. I'm taking that emotional trauma that could trigger and could be a charge. I'm bringing it back over to the body, and then I'm columning it out of the body up. So that's something. Don't get charged when you meet somebody else that has that same emotional charge in their field. Because, you know, we all extend out. Our fields are like 12 feet around us.
Yeah, our auras.
So what this does is it helps clear the field so that you aren't emotionally charged by other people's trigger points.
Okay, so Dionne, so let's say your aura, let's say where we are and we're experiencing expressing our aura, and the aura comes in contact with a tuning fork. So your aura may have some clouds in it, may have some...
Right.
It
holds the trauma.
Right, right.
It doesn't necessarily hold the trauma in your body.
So when
have disease.
So when you do the tuning fork...
When you get disease, that trauma's been there for
so
long.
Right,
say the throat is a really good one, because it's the thyroid medicine is the most prescribed medicine in the U.S. And so this is where people are not speaking their truth. They hold their energy in their throat because they can't get it out.
What's getting better, though, I think?
Huh?
More people are living in truth. I mean, that's what Steve, we were talking about earlier, you know, that nobody can
secrets.
Hide anymore. More secrets.
But one of the ways that it happens is through pain and things going wrong in your throat, because that shows that you're not being able to speak your truth, or things happen that you're not able to respond to verbally that you needed to.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so when you are able to do that, it clears a lot of the energy around that field.
Okay, now the woman who you're training with is online?
Yeah, she is.
You want to share her name?
Yeah, it is Elaine... E-L-I-E-E-N, Lane, Day, D-A-Y, and then Cusack. I mean, Mick Cusack, M-C-M-C-K-U-S-I-C-K. And she's written several books. One of them is Tuning the Human Biofield. And she goes back to Tesla and ether and plasma and describes, she's very much into quantum physics, but she's also very much into...
Now she sells the tuning forks?
Huh?
She sells them?
Yeah, she does now. And the reason she does is because she kept destroying them. So she went back to the company where she gets them, which is a bio. I can't remember the name of that either right now. You don't have one in front of me. And what she does is they made forks specifically for doing this because they had to use a softer alloy. And the reason they had to use a softer alloy was the forks would destroy themselves in too much dissonant energy in people's fields, and they would start to buzz, and they wouldn't ring true. So she worked with this company for about 6 months to develop the alloy that could withstand going through people's fields many times without creating a buzz.
Yeah, okay, so that's something that you're doing now. And of course, Jerry, what's he saying about getting tuna forked?
He's getting tuna forked. I'm ringing him out.
Okay, good. All right, good. What are you lucky
and
guy?
No, it's actually, I mean, if I hadn't seen such positive results and much more energy coming back.
Sure, great.
And it's frequency, you know? We're beings of frequency.
How do you think we built the pyramids without sound?
Right. Yeah. And she wrote a book called Electric Body, Electric Universe, and she explains quite a bit in that book about electric, you know?
All right.
And I think that healing in the future may be about tuning your frequency.
Because
we're all made up of frequencies.
Yeah, we're just energy.
And as we raise our frequency and become more multidimensional, it's going to be very clear to us that we need to sing our clear note in our bodies. You know what I mean? Our bodies need to resonate with the frequencies coming in.
Well, you know,
the astrology, not to change the subject, but I did want to mention that this month is a very potent month, and the first week of July is a very potent month, I mean, very potent week for seeing change. It's the most potent month of the year, according to two astrologers that I've been following, but it's also a universal three as far as the numerology means, so it can be playful and fun also. Three is like the number of artists and creativity. So one of the things that with one of the aspects is it's going to be a lot of people are going to feel like they've lost their will to move forward the first, but wait till after the 20th. After the 20th, things will change and you'll get a more flow back.
Liberation Day, 21st. There you go. Dion, we got to take a break here, and then, but stay on the line, okay? Stay on the line. We'll do these real quick, and then we'll be right back.
Okay.
Thank you. The food we eat, the lifestyle we live, and chemicals from our modern society are driving a global health crisis. Serious health problems are now at epidemic proportions on Guam. Over the past 10 years, health problems from cancer to Alzheimer's to diabetics, even autism, are all shown to be increasing at alarming rates, really impacting every family. With proper diet, nutrition, and an understanding of how the body works, we can minimize our risk, giving you the opportunity to live a healthier, happier, and longer life. At Island Strong, we provide the tools and resources to help you take charge of your own health. To find out more, visit islandstrong.com. Stop by our office next door to Megabyte in Tamuning or call 648-9355 to speak to a wellness coach. Learn to live well with Island Strong. That's 648-9355.
Here comes the sun. I say it's all right.
Osmujau Community School has listened closely to Superintendent John Fernandez's call to action and is committed to being an advocate for education. Osmujau offers a credit recovery program and an advancement program where students who are lacking credits or are interested in graduating early may attend Osmujau to gain those credits from a six-year WASC accredited school. They can transfer those credits into the student's district school. Parents, please check your child's counselor and take control of your child's education by sending them to Osmujau to recover those credits that will guarantee the student will graduate with their class or graduate early. Osmujau is located in Agana next to the Attorney General's old office building at 297 West O'Brien Drive in a three-story blue building. Call 475-9276 for more information. That's 475-9276. The most unique place on Guam to visit is Jeff's Pirates Cove, located in Ipan Talafofo on Route 4 right on a beautiful Windward Beach. The menu is full of wonderful culinary delights, including Jeff's famous Chamorro Fiesta Plate. Always remember that Jeff hosts a wonderful Mother's and Father's Day, along with a tantalizing Thanksgiving and a Christmas buffet. Take a tour of Jeff's Pirates Cove's unique local museum and keep an eye out for treasure. Yokoi, Guam's own 28-year survivor of World War II, is featured as a main attraction, showing his last 10 days on Guam and how he lived in the jungle. Jeff opens up Monday through Thursday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. Don't forget, start out with breakfast, Jose's Mexican Omelet, unbelievable. Jump over to Jose's Taco Tuesdays, that fully loaded nacho is waiting for you folks. And then, of course, Friday, where that whole parrot fish is just perfect. Don't forget about Jeff's Mediterranean Greek menu with a gyro platter, another personal favorite, Greek salad, and a list of appetizers that will only increase your appetite. Come to Jeff's Pirates Cove, open 7 days a week, Monday through Thursday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. Call 789-8646 for orders to go. That's 789-8646. We'll see you there. Okay, back in action here. So Steve, you had something you wanted to say?
Yeah.
Wait. See, we're not. Steve's not on. Okay, go ahead.
Since we started off.
Wait, you're still not on.
Well,
wait, there you go. Okay, now. Okay, thank you.
Since we started off with the ET stuff, I want to just wrap that up. The thing is with that report, really, there is misinformation going on right now with the major news networks and everything going on there. Because there's really only two things coming out of this ET stuff. It's either man-made or it's real. So the whole point is, if it's inducing fear, then I more than likely it's man-made.
Yeah.
And what they're doing is they're trying to induce fear to get another war going. You know, the continual circle of...
Now, is this a fear we're going to be alien? We're going to be a war against aliens?
That's what they're going to try to push as another next COVID-type stuff.
To keep everybody in fear, so you're easily managed.
Pushing fear to get easily managed,
right.
And to get generate
the,
money
the
and
cold,
power.
The Cold War.
Yeah,
to
keep generating money and power. So that's what they're going to try to push. So just realize that anything that you probably see coming out of mainstream media and the powers that be is probably going to be false type stuff. And it's disinformation in a way. So, because the real ETs, if they really wanted to take over Earth, per their agenda, as what the mainstream stuff is pushing out now on the misinformation, they would have done it already.
But wouldn't Silver Surfer help us?
Yeah.
Right, Chella? I mean, Dr. Strange? I mean, what do you think?
And the Avenger and some Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
I would like to throw something before, you know, before we end up the show.
Yeah.
What's really amazing is that the history that that Earth gives itself is that first was mermaids, right? Then was megalodons, dinosaurs, and all those types of creatures before man was ever created. Now, I know one day it'll be proof that aliens, you know, like an actual alien Skeletor will appear. I'm not jinxing it, but I know one day will happen because they already have so much ancient artifacts in museums around the world itself. And I know what Steve's gonna, I understand where Steve's coming from. And you know, it's crazy that like just recently somebody, this, you know, this Egyptian construction had to, you know, was renovating some of the properties in Egypt, and they had found some of these bodies that was buried during the time the Egyptians, you know. So it really all matters on how much effort we put to.
Well, the only time the real aliens will actually interact with us on a worldwide basis is when humans as a whole accept the spirituality involved here.
Right.
In other words, they will go to the love aspect versus the fear.
Right.
And at that point, then they know that they can interact with us without any fear.
That is really, right.
In the higher consciousness.
And hurting our evolution in the process.
Folks, I think it's 8 o'clock. I think the CBS News is here. Dion, I love you. Good job, Jordan. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Elaine. Love, 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 love. Go ahead, 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 go ahead.